Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way from the lighthouse here at Long Lake. We do have some fishermen out. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning, about 7:30 when I'm putting the message together today. And you know, the air is really cool. It's really cooled down a lot, and it's so cool that there's a steam coming up from the water, because I believe the water temperature is warmer than what the air temperature is. But anyway, I'm glad to be able to be sharing with you, and as I come your way, I just want to let you know that God's got a message for each one of us today, and I thank you for joining me from WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Thank you for joining me by the way of WION I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, along with 100.3 FM over in the Lower Ada area. And I'm just glad to have you joining me. Others have joined me by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I'm glad to report that now we are streaming both of these broadcasts by the way of the web. Both Ionia and Greenville are streaming the broadcast, and that's pretty special. Others tune me in by the way of internet radio at airsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. Had a little trouble getting it on there a couple times here, but I've got it all caught up now. And if you tuned in my website, well, you did that by going to PastorKenHarger.com. Bring your mouse over the messages from the lighthouse, and current media will show up. And the top one when you click current media is a message from this morning. I need to say thank you to those who helped with the expenses of bringing the broadcast to you. So a big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area. Big thank you to Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years and still attend. A big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from Sheridan, and to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. And also I want to thank Don and Bonnie Ferguson from Wooded Lake area. I got to get that lake there. Wooded Lake area for their financial support as well. I appreciate each and every one that helps us to be able to have the broadcast on the air in order to be able to listen to it. Well, as we start, our message for this morning is going to be a light from heaven. Jesus, when he was here, he called himself the light of the world. He said it was said of him that he's the light that will lighten everybody that turns to him. So this morning what we're going to be doing is there's a light coming from heaven. This is after Jesus was crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended back into heaven. There was a man by the name of Saul. He didn't like people. He was a very religious man, and he didn't like the people following Jesus. And so he is out to destroy that religion, so to speak, as he thought of it as. And so we are going to listen to what happens from the Word of God to this individual. And it's a message to each one of us that God is trying to light our way as we travel through this thing called life. Well, whatever you join me, we're getting ready to listen to our first song. And I always pray that everything goes okay with the songs, and because I sometimes seem to have difficulty with my machine. But here we go anyway. And this song is You'll Be the One. You'll Be the One.
Sometimes you don't know what to do or what to say. When someone tells you all their trouble, all their pain, you don't feel like you've got much to offer. That's when you come to Jesus and you lay it on the altar. The burden's not as heavy as you might think it is. He is right there with you for such a time as this. You'll be the one to answer his call. You be the one to stand up tall, reaching out to lift them up with the arms of love. When they're feeling small, you'll be the one to shine the eyes of Jesus. Even when you think that they don't need you, don't give up until the race is run.
The thought in that song, you'll be the one. You'll be the one. You may not think you've got very much to offer, but when you turn it all over to the Lord Jesus, you'll be the one that he can use to help somebody else along their journey. And you know, it's good to be the one. Every now and then we need that in our own individual life, that we was the one that was able to help. We was the one to bring some kind of comfort or encouragement or even a challenge. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning, how God wants to take people and use their lives to help other lives. Before we do, though, we've got to have a word of prayer. And before we have prayer, I always like to remember the listening audience. And I just added a couple of weeks ago this idea of an unspoken request. So if you have something that's been kind of keeping you awake at night or something that's really heavy on your heart, you're thinking about it constantly, I like to call that an unspoken request. I don't need to know what it is. I just need to know that there's somebody out there that's got an unspoken request. And when I come to my place in my prayer, I will pray for all those unspoken requests. And so if you want to focus on that when we come to that, I'd appreciate it so much. Let's go to him in prayer, and we're going to be remembering you, the listening audience. Dear Father, once again we come into your presence, and I come in behalf of people that I cannot see at this time. They got me tuned in on their program, on their radio, the program that we're doing this morning. I don't even know where they're tuned in at. But, dear Father, I just pray that you would bless them in a very special way. Father, the listening audience this morning is who I am here for. I want you to use me to help them through the difficulties of their life and whatever they're confronted with today. It can be something spiritual. It can be something financial. It can be something within their family. It can be something that is called an unspoken request. And Father, right now I want to remember those individuals that's got something that's been bothering them, something that's kept them awake maybe, something that's very prominent in their thinking. And Father, we just want to call that an unspoken request. So I pray for each individual this morning that may have an unspoken request, that they would focus on that at this time. And dear Father, I pray to you and ask, would you be pleased to minister to that need? You're so good, Father, at meeting us at the point of our need. And as we'll learn today, you never leave us where you find us. You always take us forward, and I thank you for that. So I pray for each unspoken request this morning that you would minister to those needs. And I'll thank you, and I'll praise you for that. Now, Father, come and honor your word. What a beautiful place for me to be able to sit today as I deliver this message on this beautiful lake here at Long Lake. And I just ask that you would receive of our thanks for your many blessings upon our life. I pray in that wonderful name of Jesus, who is the light of the world. For his sake, amen. Good to be with you this morning, folks. Good to share this message with you. You know, one of the things about Jesus being the light of the world is he wants to enter into our own lives individually. And I'm so glad that God in his word shared a story with us in the book of Acts of a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. His name later was going to be changed to Paul. He was going to become the Apostle Paul. He was one of the first missionaries. He was the one that brought the message to you and I, because the message was primarily to the Jewish people, and he brought it to us Gentiles, and that was something very special. We'll take a look at this man, because before Jesus met him, he was a very religious man. He's a very religious man that happened to need some additional light for his life. That religion wasn't provided. Religion was leading him down the wrong path. First, I need to have us consider something that we all have to deal with in coming to know the Lord Jesus, the light of the world. And that is, I'm going to call it our religious history. Our religious history. When I was growing up as a child in our family, we never went to church. You know, we didn't even have a Bible in the house. I remember in high school, and they don't even do this now, but I remember in high school, we was going to study the story of the book of the Exodus of the nation of Israel. And I said, what is the Exodus? That's it. They said, well, that's when they left Egypt. They had been slaves for a lot of years, and now they're getting ready to leave. And I said, where's that story at? And they said, it's in the Bible. What's the Bible? And they said, I could go to the library and I could get a Bible and I could check it out so I'd be able to do it. And, you know, that's what I did. Got a Bible from the library and was able to be taking part in that study we was having on the Exodus. When I was between 17 and 18, I started going to church. And I heard that Jesus loved me, and I heard that he died for me on the cross, and I heard that he wanted to forgive my sin. And I remember going to church for a while, and then I got that story about all that Jesus did for me. And one time when I came home from church, I went up to my bedroom, and there I knelt beside the bed, and I asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me my sin and to come into my life. And I thought that was something very special. And I knew that something was very special about asking that. And I realized as the time went on and I started to grow, I'd come to believe in this one Lord Jesus. But you know what? I didn't have any religious history. I didn't have anything I had to overcome that I'd been taught that wasn't right. I had not heard about God, had not studied the Bible, did not know about praying, did not know any of that stuff. That's not true about this Jewish man that we're going to look at by the name of Saul. He was a very religious person. He shared about his religious history, that he grew up in the synagogue. He became a religious leader of all that he was taught in the as a child. In the book of Acts, it tells us, I'm a Pharisee. That was the religious people of Jesus' day. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. There was a group of people called the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And Paul went on, this man Saul rather went on to tell us that he not only was a Pharisee, but he told us that he was the son of a Pharisee. And that was something pretty powerful. He was a second generation of religious Pharisees. One day he came to Jesus and he shared about his religious history in 2 Corinthians. He said, but whatever anyone else dares to boast about, he said, I'm going to boast a little bit about my religious history. And I'm speaking as a fool as I do it, because he knew Christ at this time. I also dare to boast that I was a Hebrew. So I am they that are Israelites. I'm an Israelite. So he goes on to say, I am the offspring of Abraham. So I am to describe it. He describes it again in the book of Ephesians. Though I myself have reason to have confidence in the flesh because of my religious history, if anyone, I was circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning the law is spotless. As a Pharisee, I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. As to righteousness under the law, he said I was blameless. Oh, gotta tell you, folks, that's a pretty good religious history pedigree. He was everything you could possibly be in the form of religion, but something seemed to be missing in his life, and I don't think he knew it at that time. But he was soon going to find out. With all this religious history, and he had heard about Jesus because they say he probably was about the same age of Jesus. So after the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, many people were coming to know Jesus. And many of them were leaving the Jewish religion. And that's probably what sparked this inside of him. Saul was working hard to destroy what he thought was this new religion that is not a good thing. So he went and he got letters of authority. He was doing that in Jerusalem. Just got to take a little sip here. He was doing that in Jerusalem. And now he wanted to move on to the city of Damascus. And if he could find anybody that claimed to be a Christian, anybody that claimed to follow this one, the Lord Jesus, this letter of authority that he had gave him permission to put him in prison and even go so far as to kill them. So that was something that was in his mind, was in his heart, and he was doing it with all the energy he had. As he has this letter of authority in his possession, and he leaves the city of Jerusalem and heads to the city of Damascus, and he's feeling pretty good about himself. He's feeling pretty good that he'll be able to do something that is going to cause this new religion, so to speak, be destroyed. But we need to remind ourselves in 1 John and in John chapter 1, talking about Jesus at his time of his birth, the real light which shines on everyone was coming into the world. The real light. Now there's light that comes from being religious. And there's religious things that are taught that is beneficial to the benefit of man. But this is the real light. This is the real light that's coming. Jesus is the one that's going to show us what it means, because he's coming right fresh from God the Father. And he's going to teach us what God the Father is like. And he's going to do it in such a beautiful way that he can say, as he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was in the world, and the world came into existence through him. He was there at creation. Yet the world didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize who he was. I love it that Jesus says he's the real light. And he tells us that they didn't recognize him. And that's where Saul's at. That's where I was before I come to know Jesus. I didn't recognize Jesus. I didn't know what he had done. That's where you're at if you're listening this morning and you haven't received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior into your life. We can try to be religious, but religion will take something and make it with their own hands and then bow down and worship it. That's not what God wanted for us, and not what God wanted for Saul. Saul was trying to destroy this new type of religion. So through the Lord Jesus Christ, need to do something to get Saul's attention. And we read about that in the book of Acts. I want to share it, not as it was when it first happened, but I want to share it this morning in the way that Paul shared it one time when he was being judged and he was before a king. In the book of Acts, chapter 22, 6 through 11, I was on my way, Paul said in his own words, and drew near to Damascus. I like that way. I'm on my way and I drew near. And about noonday, noon's a pretty bright time. That's a big light shining, remember, the S-U-N. noonday, from heaven suddenly shone a light suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" He said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Now those who were with me saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of the one that was speaking to me. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Rise and go into Damascus, and there will be told you all that is appointed for you to do." All that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me, and we came into Damascus. All of a sudden, he's going down the road, and he's feeling good about himself. He's got this authority and all this. And all of a sudden, he finds himself laying on the ground. A light has shined upon him that was so bright that it caused blindness to him at that time. And while he's laying on the ground, his voice calls his name. That must have been a scary experience. The light would have been bad enough. And falling to the ground and then not being able to see. And the voice said, "Saul, Saul," he knows the name of this man. "Who are you?" He said, "I am the Lord Jesus of Nazareth." And you know what? God told him, "I got something I want you to do. And you're not doing what I want you to do. So I'm going to let you know that it's going to be told you what you're going to do. I've got some things that I've appointed for your life, Saul. And I want you to fulfill those things that I have appointed to your life." So Jesus got his attention by that flashing light. I think flashing lights get our attention, you know. A flashing light of a nice blue car behind us would get your attention and mine. When we see an ambulance coming towards us or behind us, we ought to scoot off the road, so to speak, and give clearance, because that flashing light and then that siren is saying something to us that we need to get out of the way. The people, they saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. And I got to tell you, folks, that's something for us to know, that God has his own way when you and I are going down the wrong road to get our attention. And when God gets our attention, he has something he wants to share with us. Jesus is saying to this man, "Saul, I got something I want you to do." When this man was able to stand up, then those that was with him, because he was blind, led him into the town. When Saul asked Jesus, "What shall I do?" And the Lord said, "Rise and go into Damascus." It's not the way he was planning to go into Damascus. He had his sight and he had his direction, what he was going to do. But I like what it is said next, because this is important. "And it will be told you what is appointed for you to do." What is appointed for you to do. I want you to know, folks, that God's got something he wants every one of us to do. And he wants us to realize that through this man Saul, he's teaching, I've got something for Saul to do. And when I was about 19, it was like God was saying to me, I got something for Ken to do. I never thought about being a preacher. I never had any church history, no religious history. When I started going to the Bible school, them kids in Bible school, they knew all about Moses and Abraham and Isaac and all those things. I had no knowledge of who that was. I was a greenhorn. And as I studied the Word of God, and as I was willing to be whatever he wanted me to be, it's just like he is saying to me, I want you to be a pastor. And I felt that call from God. And I'm so glad, like Saul, I responded to that call. He's got something he wants you to do. I believe this is something that is not a once-in-your-lifetime experience. I believe every day we should be keenly aware that God has certain things he wants us to do. He has some things that he wants us to accomplish today. I believe we need to realize that we need to be aware of what we're doing for the kingdom of God. What are we doing on earth that's going to count for eternity? We can all make it through this thing called life on earth. But God is telling us he wants more than that to happen. He wants to take your life and my life and Paul's life, Saul of Tarsus' life, and he wants to turn it into something that he has appointed us to do. I came across this saying and I love it. If God is calling you to do it, he will equip you to do it. Sometimes that's what we do as individuals, is we say, I don't think I can do that. There's a verse in the book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter. May the God of peace be with you in everything that you're doing, that he may show you what is pleasing to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. God wants to show you, and God wants to show me what he wants us to do with our life. Let's take a little break for just a few moments, give my voice a little break. I do have an appointment to see the doctor here in the near future, but the first time they could get me in was in the first part of September. So I'm just anxious to find out if there's something they can do that maybe I've hindered my voice with in the days gone by. But anyway, let's take a little break and we'll listen to a song. And this song, I really like the name of the song. He made a change in me. God make a change in each one of us. You know, whenever you come to God, and when you come different times in your life, you'll find that God makes a change in our life. And those changes are generally for the benefit of helping us along the way. Bless us and in. I'll be right back.
When Paul met the Lord on Damascus Road, he never was the same again. When Peter met the Lord, he left his boat and started fishing for men. Now I may not be Peter or Paul, but one thing I can truly say, when I met the Lord and made him my choice, he definitely made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change
in the way that I'm talking. Old things passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
He made a
born again, set free, finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
Shaking their heads, cause they never thought they'd see the day when a sinner like me would praise the Lord or bow my head to pray. I'm not what I used to be. You see, my life has been rearranged. Well, it's nothing that I've done, but I have found someone who definitely made a change.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that
change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
He made a change.
I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in me. Change in the way that I'm talking. Old things passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living.
He made a change.
I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you.
passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change in me. And if he can make a change in me, I like that thought, he can make a change in you. He changed the way I'm thinking. He changed the way I'm talking. I believe he changed the way I'm acting. God wants to make that change, and he never leaves us the way he finds us. And he always causes us to go forward. And that's what he's going to do with this man, Saul. He's now been laying underground, and he's had some time to think about his life for a few moments. Now he's been told, go on into Damascus, and it'll be told to you what I want you to do. You know, in Psalm 119, 105, it says, your word, God, is like a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. That's what Saul needed, some light to his path. He was going down the wrong path. I love it when God's word is a light unto our path. He said it's a lamp to our feet. It just lights up as we go. I think of that quite often as I'm driving the car at nighttime. I don't drive near as much at night as I used to, but you know, if I'm driving the car at nighttime, it lights up the road where I'm driving. It doesn't light the road down the mile, about a mile in front of me or 2 miles in front of me. It lights as I travel. And that's what Saul is at. He's traveling, but he's going down the wrong road. And so God's going to do something. You know what I want us to think about for these next few moments? Is God's got things he wants us to do. And God's got things he wants to change in a person's life. But God doesn't do it all by himself. God says, I need people to help people. You know, when you think about your life and I think about my life, I can think about some people that hurt me in life. They caused me a lot of difficulty. They caused me some pain. But I can also think of a lot of people that God used to help me, to bring about healing in my life, to bring about a blessing in my life. And that's what we're going to find here in Acts chapter 9. A disciple named Ananias, he lived in the city of Damascus. Isn't that strange? There's a Christian living in the very town that this man Saul was going to. And if he found him, he'd arrest him. He could put him in jail, this man Ananias, because he's a Christian. And the Lord came to him in a vision, sleeping at night or whatever, and he said, Ananias? And Ananias answered, yes, Lord. The Lord told him, get up and go to Judas' house on the straight street and ask for a man named Saul from the city of Tarsus. He's praying. God said that. God knows. This man is now praying. He's a religious man, but probably he's praying different than he's ever prayed in his life. He's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias placing his hand to restore his sight. He said, I've given him a picture of you, and you're just going to place your hand on him. And as you place your hand on him, his sight will be restored. Ananias replied, Lord, I've heard a lot about the people tell us about this many evil things this man has done to your people in Jerusalem. Saul was coming there to Damascus with authority from the chief priest to put anyone who calls your name in prison. The Lord said, Ananias, go. I've chosen this man to bring my name to the nations of to kings and to the people of Israel. I'll show him how much things he should suffer for my sake of my name. And Ananias, when he got all done with that vision, Ananias left, and he entered the Judas house. And after he placed his hand on Saul, Ananias said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the way to Damascus, has sent me to you. He wants you to see again and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like fish scales fell off from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. Then Saul stood up. He was baptized, I believe, by Ananias, and he had something to eat, and he's got his strength back. I believe he's ready to do what God wants him to do. He doesn't know what all that is yet, but I want us to focus on the fact that God wanted to do something in this man's life, but he wanted to use another person to help bring that about. Do you realize that's what I can say? Why I can say? God has something he wants you to do. Just like he has things that he's got appointed for Saul to do, he's got things that he wants you to do. And sometimes he may come to you and I as a Christian, and he may say, I got something I want you to do, and you and I have to decide, are we going to be obedient to that? Are we going to go do what the Lord has told me to do? Even if there's fear, like Ananias said, I've heard about this guy. I don't think I want to take him on. Jesus said, Ananias, go. I've chosen this man. He's going to be working for me. You know what? It wasn't going to be against Jesus no more, this man Saul. He was going to be working for Jesus. And I love it. I love it that when Ananias got there, whatever, how long it took him to get to the place he needed to be. But when he walked in there, he knew he was supposed to be there because God has sent him. And that's exactly what he said. Saul, the Jesus that you saw on the road to Damascus, and Saul could say, yes, I remember. He said, he sent me. And so Brother Saul, and he put his arm on him. And all of a sudden, all that scales from his eyes fell off. Ananias, the Christian man, wanted to use, was what Ananias, the Christian man, was what God wanted to use to help Saul. And you know what? Even though he's heard a lot of things, even though he says, I know why he's here. He's here to put me, people like me, in prison that say, we believe in you. Jesus said, I've chosen him to take my message to other people. Let us consider how we may help one another towards love and good deeds, encouraging one another. That's in the book of Hebrews, folks. That's what God says you and I as Christians should do. Let us consider how we may help one another towards love and good deeds, encouraging one another. Ananias was right there to fulfill that purpose within Saul's life. And I love it. All of a sudden, he's able to see this man Saul is once again. And now I want to show you what happens when God changes the direction a person is traveling. You know, what they started saying about this man Paul as this news spread that he had believed in the Lord Jesus. They started to say, he who once persecuted Christians, God's word, God's way of doing things, now preaches. He moved from a persecutor trying to destroy to a preacher trying to enlarge the kingdom of God. That all happened on the road to Damascus. That all happened because that light of, that great light of Jesus shined upon this man. That all happened because another Christian person was willing to go over and let him know that they were that they trusted God and what God had done to help him. He all of a sudden now has new direction for his life. And I love what happened in Saul's life. It's recorded for us in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 20 through 25. He immediately began to spread the word in their synagogues that Jesus was the Son of God. My goodness, that wasn't what he came to do. He began to spread the word. He was coming to destroy it. Everyone who heard it was amazed. And they asked, isn't this the man who destroyed those who worship, the one named Jesus in Jerusalem? Didn't he come here to take those worshipers as prisoners back to the chief priests in Jerusalem? And Saul grew more powerful. And he confused the Jewish people living in Damascus. Now listen to what it says. By proving that Jesus was the Messiah. Now you know what? Saul knew by studying the Old Testament the Messiah wasn't he was going to come. And all of a sudden he as a Jewish person recognizes, even though others did not recognize, this is the Messiah that was talking about in the Old Testament. And he proved to them. Later, the Jewish people planned to murder Saul. But Saul heard about their plot. They were watching the city gates at night in order to murder him. However, Saul was lowered in a large basket through an opening in the wall at night, and he disappeared from them. That's not important to me. You know what's important to me is how God had changed this man. Now, I believe the things that you've been taught in religion that was not against God, but for God. When you come to know the Lord Jesus in a personal way, I believe all that can benefit you tremendously. And that's what was helping this man Saul. All of a sudden, that Old Testament made sense to him. This is what God was trying to show us, Jewish people. And we hadn't got it. And now he has. He's got some redirection for his life. You know what I like to call it? That divine appointment with the Lord Jesus gave him some redirection for his life. It gave him a brand new beginning. His name was changed from Saul to Paul. And later he became one of the apostles. I love what his reaction was as he started doing. Immediately he began to spread the news. You know what? God had lightened Paul. Now we're going to call him Paul from now on. God had lightened Paul so he could be a light to others. God had helped him to see so he could help others to see. And he began to teach in a powerful way and confessing to the Jewish people of his own Pharisee group, so to speak, his own religious group, so to speak, that he was going to, that Jesus was the Messiah. And all of a sudden, he's being used for what God the Father and the Lord Jesus had in mind for this man's life. He's being used to share the message, and it goes on and on from there, and just expands very broad beyond what this man would have ever thought of it could possibly be. I love that Jesus had said, I've chosen this man to bring light, to be light to others. I've chosen him that he'll bring light to nations, he'll bring light to kings, and he'll bring light to the Jewish people. I'll show him also, God shares, all the things he must suffer. And isn't it interesting that God just didn't protect him from the things that was coming his way? But what God was showing us is that God was with him. You know what? We need to realize that God is not a God that just is for our protection. there may be you go through some difficulty as a result of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And that was true of this man Saul, who now has become Paul. As he starts preaching to the people of his day, as he starts sharing what Jesus means to him, all of a sudden, the people want to kill him. His own people, his own friends, those of his own religion are wanting to kill him, like he was wanting to kill those who said they were Christians. But God had changed his life. He had changed his life from being a persecutor to being a preacher, spreading the news of this one Jesus. You know, sometime later in Paul's life, he met a young man, Timothy. It's believed that he led Timothy to the Lord in a closer way. And one day he's writing to this young man, Timothy, who was going to be a preacher also. And he said to him, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves your full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst sinner." That's why Christ came, to save sinners. And he tells Timothy, "I'm the worst one. But for that very reason, because I was such a sinner, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." I love what he's saying. What he's saying is, God has brought this about in my life, Timothy, so that I can be a help to others. And I love it that Paul says, "And I was the worst sinner. I was persecuting the church, so to speak. But God wants to take my life," and I love the way it says it, "to show his patience as an example to those that are going to believe in him." That comes down to you and I. That comes down to this morning. God's going to use this man, Paul, in the things that he's going to write. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. He wrote of the epistles and all those other things that is written after the book of Acts. God's going to use him, he says, to help us in our walk with God. And that's tremendous to know. So God is saying, "You know what? I've got things for him to do. But you know what also, folks? He's got things for us to do." And you know what I think that thing is for us to do? Time this song gets done that I'm closing in, it's going to be a realization to you that you've got a little light. And it may be it's just a little teeny light, but God wants your light to shine. He wants your light to shine out to others, that you might be a light to them and help them in their individual life. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with
this
you.
Little
have a good
light
week.
Of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh yeah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh yeah.
Jesus gave me the light,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Jesus gave me the light,
I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh yeah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine,
gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, oh yeah.
I won't let Satan blow it out,
I'm gonna let it shine.
I won't let Satan blow it out,
I'm gonna let it shine.
I won't let Satan blow it out,
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, oh yeah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, oh yeah.
Hide it under a bushel, no,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel, no,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel, no,
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, oh yeah.